Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to begin a discussion of renewing of the mind. Now, you may think, I'm not going to listen this week. I know what renewing the mind is all about. My mind is renewed. I'm good. Well, I urge you not to do that, because there is a lot of misunderstanding about what it means to have a renewed mind. A lot of inaccurate ideas. So we have people who think their minds are renewed, but in fact, they still think like the world in a lot of areas. I think you're going to find this series here helpful. Now, let me start with our verse, our key verse, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, informs Christians that they must undergo a transformation by renewing their mind. Now, that's actually an amazing statement when we consider the fact that true Christians have already undergone a tremendous transformation through being born again and becoming new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." That's a radical transformation. When a person bows their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life comes into their spirit and a huge transformation takes place. We'll discuss this in more detail over the next couple weeks. But a sinner becomes a son. A sinner becomes a saint. An unrighteous man or woman becomes a holy, righteous child of God. It's a tremendous transformation. However, this transformation occurs only in the human spirit. It does not directly affect our mind or our body. Man has three different parts to his makeup: spirit, soul, and body. Our body, of course, is our physical body. Our spirit is the part of us that contacts God, and our mind is made up, or our soul is made up of our mind, or our intellectual and emotional faculties. Now, that's a real short statement of what could be an in-depth teaching, but the point for our discussion right now is we've undergone a marvelous transformation. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior today, you have undergone a marvelous transformation. In your spirit, you've become a new creature, literally, but it didn't directly affect your body or your mind. I'm defining mind here as your intellectual and emotional faculties. And here in this verse I just read, these two verses, Paul admonishes us Christians to do something with both our bodies and our mind. We're told to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service, Romans 12:1 says. And then verse 2 says, renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, why must we deal with our mind and our body? Well, like I say, they were not directly affected by the new birth. You may have felt good when you left the church the night you got saved, but that wasn't a permanent transformation. Because how many of you know your emotions went down at some point, and maybe your body got tired at another point, or you felt sinful desires rise up again in your body or in your mind or in your emotions? They were not directly affected by the new birth. So Paul says, do something with your body, present it to God and do something with your mind, renew it. Now, prior to conversion, our bodies were actually used as the instruments through which we carried out sinful actions. We could do a whole lesson on this. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we yielded our bodies as instruments of unrighteousness, but now we're to yield them as instruments of righteousness and glorify God. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you committed sin, your body was the vehicle that you used. Your body isn't evil in and of itself, but it's been used as an instrument of unrighteousness. It's like if you rob a bank and use your car as the getaway car. Your car's not evil, but you used it as an instrument of unrighteousness. Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 13, let me read it. It says, neither yield ye your members, members there means your body parts, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So now that you're a new creature, you're instructed to yield your body. Use your body as an instrument of righteousness. Don't use it as an instrument of sin anymore, but as an instrument of righteousness. Well, that's another way of saying present your bodies unto God as a living sacrifice. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 say, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, there's that idea again. You're supposed to do something with your body. You're supposed to yield it to God. You're supposed to use it as an instrument of righteousness. You're supposed to present it as a living sacrifice unto God. Don't use it like you used to. Use it for the glory of God. Use it in His service. Now, obviously, we could do whole lessons on that, but the point for our discussion is, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is instructing new creatures who've been transformed from sinners into sons, from sinners into saints, from unrighteous men into holy righteous men, from unrighteous women into holy righteous women. You've been transformed, but your body's not directly affected or permanently changed yet. You do something with it by the power of God in you now. And then he says, renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Prior to our conversion, our minds had absolutely no access to God and His unseen kingdom. We talk about this a lot. There is more to reality than what you see right now in the room that you're sitting in or the car that you're driving in. There's more to reality. If we could pull the veil back, we would see the invisible realm, the realm of God and His holy angels. Well, before we were Christians, we had no access to that realm. John, the third chapter, where Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, a couple verses before that, he said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We had no access to it. Our bodies received all our, well, let me say it this way, our mind, let me say it this way, our mind received all of its information about reality from a system at odds with God. We were educated by this fallen world. Even if you went to a Christian school, I'm not knocking where you went to school. I'm saying we got input from our physical senses about the nature of reality. We got information from a system, a fallen world dominated by a fallen system, namely the kingdom of this world, which is presided over by the god of this world, small g, the devil. We were influenced by that. You cannot grow up in this society without being influenced by the world around us. Our minds received all of their information from a system at odds with God. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Get yours before they get it. Don't let anybody get the upper hand on you. I mean, there's all these things we learned. It was just put in us. And we learned to put self above all else. Our thought processes have been shaped by the hurts, the emotional damage, the misperceptions, and the prejudices that life has brought our way. So our minds need a big renovation. And that's what we're going to address over the next few weeks. But the transformation in our spirit, although real and substantial, and we'll talk more about that transformation in upcoming lessons, there's been a real change in you, in your spirit, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior today. It's real, it's substantial, but it's got to be expressed through your mind and your body to have a discernible impact on your present life. An unrenewed mind and an uncontrolled body will keep that from happening. And although a person may be truly born again, he will look, talk, and act like an unchanged man. We see it all the time. We'll look at this verse in a later lesson, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, "Why are you acting like mere unchanged men? There's strife in your congregation. There's overindulgence. There's envy. You're carnal. They're changed men." But that change isn't shown up on the outside because they have unrenewed minds and uncontrolled bodies. Your mind and your body have to be brought into conformity to the changes in your spirit so that this inward transformation can be accurately expressed. And like I say, we'll get to that in detail in upcoming lessons. But here's something I want to be sure and point out. We're to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, and we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Listen to this, end of verse 2, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that the purpose of doing this, presenting your body and renewing your mind, is to enable you to demonstrate God's will. How much your mind is renewed is reflected by how much your life demonstrates the will of God. That's a big one, and we're going to discuss that in detail. Our mind is to be renewed so that the inward changes in our spirit can be accurately expressed to the world around us, and we can demonstrate the will of God. Now, you might say, well, I walk in the will of God. Well, did you know the will of God says, fear not? How much you fear is a representation of how much your mind is not renewed. Now, we'll discuss all that in detail. We got a lot to talk about. I'm just introducing some things. How thankful you are in every situation is an expression of how much you do the will of God. Well, we're out of time.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.